Welcome to the Turning Point Church podcast. We pray that this message takes root in your heart and bears fruit in your life. For additional messages and other resources, you can visit us at www.tpoint.church.
Grab your Bibles this morning, if you would. Grab your Bible, grab your tablet, grab your phone. However it is that you access the Word, go ahead and grab it. And I want to give you plenty of time. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Correction, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. As you're doing that, will you stand one more time? We're going to honor the reading of the Word of the Lord in this house. The Word is good. It's good. It's real good. It's really good. These words are spirit and they are life. They're spirit and they're life. They're life to our bones. These words, more than just print on pages or type on screens. Did everybody get there safely? Did you make it all right? 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read one verse. All that for one verse. Verse 9. This is what it says. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you. Here it is, out of darkness and into his marvelous light. To his marvelous light. I want to read it one more time. This is amplified. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy, dedicated, sacred nation, a people for God's own possession. You are his own, that you may proclaim all of his excellencies, for he has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. God, we thank you and we bless you for your word. It is your word that is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Without your word, God, I would not know which direction to go. I would be wandering. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, let your word just settle in our hearts this morning. Lord, let us know that you have spoken to us by the time we go, that you have spoken directly to us. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Grab your seat if you would. I also want to say thank you. They're not here this morning, but I want to publicly thank the Father, spiritual Father and spiritual Mother of this house for more than just covering the bases last week, but ministering out of the heart of God. We are blessed, church. We are blessed with the best, and to be able to have before us a spiritual father, a mother who still cover this church in prayer and support and ministry is so rare now. And to see the generational continuity that is taking place, we are blessed to be a part of that. And let us always acknowledge that and honor those who have gone before and have prepared the way that we can be here now. You know, it took many years of sowing and watering and sowing and watering for us to be able to enjoy this place today. It's a great example before us. Let us always be the people of honor. Amen. So make sure you tell them thank you when you see them. I believe it's one of the greatest strengths of this house to do that. I want to encourage you in the word this morning before we get into the actual piece that I believe that God has set on my heart for you. And that's something that George Whitefield said, great evangelist and revivalist, but he said, study to know more and more. And he was talking about the word. Study to know more and more, because the more you know, the more you will love him. The more you will love him. We can't afford to pass along to this next generation any form of biblical illiteracy. We have to be able to know what the word of God is and to call that our own. These words have I written upon my heart that I might not sin against God. There is something to be said for knowing the word of the Lord. I love Mr. Evan German. He's one of our advisory council. He's up on the front. He had no idea I was going to talk about him, but that's why he's giving me a look right now. But this is a man. He and his wife, they know the word. You can get into conversation before you know it. He's quoting full passages. And as he is talking, so many times, sir, I've been listening to you talk, and you're just going line by line, and my heart is being stirred as I'm hearing it because he's speaking it with conviction. And before you know it, he's on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and one scripture is tying to another scripture. And we must be people of the word. It helps to know, in order to know what he is saying now, it's helpful to know what he has already said. Because how he operates is he confirms his word. He confirms it. He confirms it. All right, that's enough on that. Let's get into this morning. This is really the message that I want to share with you this morning, something that God has been showing us. I know we are referencing this, and that is because there was something significant that happened on Wednesday. Wednesday night, there was a moment in prayer where there was a breakthrough. And everyone who is here knows exactly when that happened, what it looked like, and what it sounded like. And the reason why I refer to that is because since we've moved into this place, it has been adjustments. Adjustments. And I want to address this morning, not from just a place of this church, but this is representative of our lives. And so something happened on Wednesday that is going to help us in our lives, and I can only express it in this way, and that is that the dust began to settle. The dust began to settle. And if you've ever been involved in a move, there's a lot that goes into a move. There's a lot of things you've got to take care of. There's a lot of I's you've got to dot and T's that you've got to cross, and there's so much to be done that you can get wrapped up in that. And on Wednesday night, it was like the dust just began to settle. And I even told some of the staff this last week, it's finally starting to feel like home. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's finally starting to feel like home. And it's a new place. It's a new atmosphere. It's a new, so many things to get used to. Even we've tried different ways of roping off the back areas so that we can do our best to make it feel like home. And so we've been trying all kinds of different things. We've been working feverishly. Everybody has, not just our staff, but volunteers as well, getting things in place, switching out chairs, getting things unpacked, all that kind of stuff. And so it's been one wild and crazy time. But something began to happen, and I believe it is a spiritual thing, and that's what I want to speak to you this morning, is the settling that takes place spiritually in us. And I prayed, Lord, as the dust settles, let your glory settle as well. And I was reminded of this, is that from dust we came, and to dust we shall return. So the dust settling isn't just about everything getting in place. It's about us getting in place. It is about us settling into something. And I want to communicate this the best way that I can, because getting settled in the things of God has nothing to do with inactivity. Getting settled in the things of God has nothing to do with the physical environment. Being settled and rested in the Lord. He said, we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Seated with him in heavenly places. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a dedicated people, and we are seated with him in heavenly places. Being seated is the thought of being settled. You're sitting right now. Isn't that a place of rest. Isn't it more restful to be sitting than it is standing? Aren't you thankful for the nice, cushy chairs that we have to sit on? We tried the other church's chairs. Praise God. Everything, when we purchased this facility, everything came with. It was fully furnished. Praise God. But I'm so glad that our pastor felt led many years ago to purchase chairs. And everyone in this room can say amen. Someone said to me, well, Pastor, shouldn't you be uncomfortable in church? I said, no, I think it should be the most comfortable place in all the world. It should feel good. It should feel good. It should be something that soothes the heart and the soul. I get what they're going after, but I praise God. I praise God for air condition. Some of y'all can go back to the tent in the wilderness if you want to, but I praise God for the air condition. Oh, my goodness. So we're not going to let the cushiness or the non-cushiness of the chairs determine how we're going to go after God spiritually. That's the point. That's the point. Thank the Lord for the chairs. It's about being settled. As the dust settles, Lord, let the glory settle as well. When there was the dedication of the temple, Solomon dedicated the temple. There was an activity that took place. And this is what we have to know, is that it too was the instruction of the Lord. God gave Solomon the instructions for where everything was to be placed. This is how detailed God was with Solomon. He was so detailed, he said, this is what kind of candlesticks you're going to have. This is what they're going to look like. And then when they get done being made by craftsmen excellent in their work, and they are everything that I said that they are to be, then you're going to place them here and here and here. And the veil, the curtain, is going to be such and such a length. The sanctuary is going to be such and such a length and such a width. All of these things down to the detail. And it was required before the glory of the Lord was to fill the temple. Everything had to be in place. That is less about all the stuff being in place and more about the obedience. It's about the obedience. It's about the obedience. For us as a people, so many times we're trying to get all the things just in place, just perfect in our life. Have you ever heard somebody, well, I come to the Lord when I've got everything in place? When I got everything better, that's when I really start to follow the Lord. I'll say yes to the calling of God once I got everything in place, but I got to get it in place first. And most of the time, what God is really looking for, what is he looking for? He's just looking for us to be obedient. Oh. The same occurred in the upper room. In the upper room, when the Holy Spirit came, before that, there had to be a settling that took place. There had to be a settling that took place. Before the Holy Spirit came, first of all, they had to follow the instruction of Jesus. He said, go and wait in Jerusalem. Then the promise will come. Go and wait. Follow the instruction. Then the promise is going to come. And then there was something else they had to do. There was something else they had to get in place. If you remember, there was a disciple that had betrayed Jesus, and so he had to be replaced. And so they drew straws, so to speak. They cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, and so they replaced it, and so replaced him, and so they became 12 again, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Things got in place, and then the glory of the Lord, the presence of the Lord fell. They were settled, meaning they were determined not to move until the Lord said, move. When you settle, it means that you intend to make a life there. Remember when there was a big move in history? You learn this in history. There was a big move out west. There was the out west. And everyone from the eastern coast began to migrate. They heard of gold that was being found out in California. They began to migrate west. And they began to move out west. And what the heart in them was to settle there. They wanted to settle the territory. We've been over the last several weeks in a message that I believe the Lord gave us. And that is, we're here, now what? We're here, now what? And that has to do with the transition from a wilderness into the promised land. And this is what it really all comes down to, is a change and a shift in our mindset and heart set. mindset and heart set. Can we use both of those this morning? Mindset and heart set. The wilderness was twofold. Two purposes. It was to test their heart and to change the way they thought. The place of the wilderness was to test their heart and to change the way that they thought. The Lord said, I will test them in the wilderness to see if their hearts will turn from me or not. I'll tell you this, the heart issue. That's the big thing. It's a lot easier to work with someone who has the right heart. They may have some poor thinking and in some areas, but the right heart will always come back to humility, repentance, and the right heart will always come back to make course corrections. We all have stinking thinking in one way or another. We all have areas where our thought patterns are not the healthiest. But when what has made its way to our brain actually gets down into our heart as truth, what does the word say? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You can fool people with your thoughts and opinions and all of that for so long, but after a while, our heart will be revealed. It will be seen at some point. It will come out in actions. It will come out in how we treat others. It will come out in our honor and respect. It will come out in our sense of humility. The heart will eventually be revealed. You say, why does it seem to work for some and not for others? And can I tell you, the issue is always the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. Listen, Peter gets more ink than any of the other disciples in the Gospels. Some for the good, some for the bad. He was a stereotypical sailor, boisterous, obnoxious, cursing. And yet he's the one who gets the label, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And Jesus said it to him. And a few sentences later, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Then you have Judas Iscariot. Interesting thing about Judas Iscariot. They're unsure of where he gets his surname, Iscariot, but he was distinguished between the other Judas that was another disciple. But Judas Iscariot, the surname, there's a couple of ideas on that. But the main idea is that it's not concerning his father. Judas Iscariot would mean that he would come from a region, Iscariot, assigned to a region. Or there is another understanding that is debated, and that is that he was with a company and associated with a company of assassins. Can you believe that? Either way, the association has to do with either where he was from or what he was involved with. You see, Jesus referred to Judas. He said, there is one among you who is not clean. In other words, there is one among you who has not been born again and has not asked and sought forgiveness and repentance. So Judas, this whole time, listen to the difference between hearing things, getting it in here, but it never translating to here. Jesus said, Peter, come follow me. Drops his nets and he goes. Was Peter a man full of mistakes? Was Judas a man full of mistakes? So what was the difference? The heart. The heart. The heart. Because when Jesus said to Peter, he said, you value the things of men above the things of God. Get behind me, Satan. What did Peter do? He came right into the right mindset and the right heart. When he was corrected, when he was adjusted, he made the adjustments. Praise God. We've got to be people of the right heart, make the adjustments. Maybe if he was a little rough around the edges, even like David. Man, I love talking about this guy. The difference between David and Saul, again, was not more or less sin. The difference between David and Saul was not the sin issue, it was the heart issue. Because when Saul was addressed by Samuel the prophet and said, Saul, you've done this thing, what did he do? He looked to cover his reputation, and he refused to ask forgiveness. When David messed up, and we all know how he messed up royally, on more than one occasion, when he did mess up, he fessed up. That's what we tell the boys, isn't that right, Joshua? If you mess up, fess up, and then catch up. Come on, let's go. Not going to hang out in the pity party and, oh, I messed up. Man, get it right, get going. It's the heart. That's why he could take a pasture kid and make him a palace king. Because the heart of that simple shepherd, the heart was more valuable than all the highest thoughts that Saul could have had. What is this? A lot of what this has to do is with the change that takes place in us. The things that worked in Egypt won't work in the promised land. It's like Jacob. Jacob, if you want the blessing of the Lord and restoration with your brother Esau, you can't approach this thing as you've always done in the past through deception and manipulation and trying to swindle your way into favor. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to come back humble and repentant, and you're going to have to come back in the right heart. If you want to be blessed, got to come in with the right heart. What worked for you before and what got you some of your riches and some of your wealth and all of that, what worked is not going to work now. We don't need to have the mindset of the way we were in Egypt. We got to have the ones as a free child of God. Our tendency is to hold on to that thinking. Listen, the talents and the abilities, the giftings, the charisma, the cuteness, everything that you have that God has given and has blessed us with, all of that will only get us so far. You hear me? All of that will only get us so far. The word says that a man's gift makes room for him. Your gift can get you in the room. Your gift can get you into a place. Favor can get you into a place. But I'm telling you what, children of God, we need more than just the gifting and the favor if we're going to be able to stay in the place. If you want to possess the place, if you want to be able to stay in the place, there has got to be a change that happens in our life, that happens in our heart, happens in our minds. There's things that you have learned. I'm asking God to stretch me. There are things that I have learned in this life. There are things that I have learned in the church world. There are things that I have learned about pastoring. There are things that I have learned about organizational leadership. There are things that I have learned of the wisdom of God. And more I live, the more I found out how deficient I am. And there are things, church, what we've got to look at is that for our lives, I can't just rely on the lessons and the learnings that have got me to this point, nor can you. There are new things that God wants to show us, and it's not a dismissal of what he has taught us. He's going to build on what he has taught us. He is going to build on what he has shown you. He's going to build on the things that you have learned, but there is more that he wants to show. There's more he wants to reveal. So, so much more. So much more. And God loves you enough to put you in a place where you have to call on him for more. Because what fed you in the old season won't feed you now. It won't nourish you like it did in the wilderness. The manna was good for the wilderness, and he taught me some wonderful things when I had manna, and boy, was I grateful for the manna. But his plan was to bring us into a place flowing with milk and honey. That's a change of diet. That's a change. Something, the nourishment changes. That's a change. That's a shift. We have to get used to that. There are hearts, our stomachs, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's something more that he has for us. There's something beyond what we have tasted and seen to this point. And I praise God that he is that kind of God. I praise God that we have not come to a place, not one of us in this room, where we have got him all figured out. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. If we thought we had this thing figured out, guess what? We wouldn't be in this building right here. We'd be spending millions of dollars in debt building somewhere else. But God provided a thing. God provided something. God did something. But that's a place where we got to come to and trust. That's where it comes to the settling. Paul said it. Whether I abound or whether I am belittled, whether I am abased, whatever circumstance I find myself content. Content. That's the settling that we're talking about. Content. Content. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. New seasons call for renewed dedication, renewed consecrations. New seasons call for renewed thinking, renewed thinking. When you have something significant happen in your life by God's hand and by God's plan, it opens up a whole other avenue. Don't you get this? For those of you who are married, don't you know when you get married, isn't it interesting that you begin to wonder, what was life like before this? You get married, and it's a wonderful thing. How many of y'all remember being newlyweds? How many are newlyweds? Whatever. We're newlyweds. 14 years, we're still figuring this thing out. But there's something that takes place. It's like, man, what happened before? Like, what were our lives like before? And then you have children, and then it happens all over again. What was life like before? I'll stop there. I don't know how it's been with you, but for us, that's been in complete joy. Man, what was life like before? And why would we ever want to go back? Because the experiences that God brings us into is something that he wants to reveal to us. That experience of marriage takes on a whole different understanding of us being the bride and him being the groom. It opens up an entire other revelation. Having children opens up an entire other revelation of what it means to be a father, what it means to be a mother, all those things. New seasons call for renewed thinking. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The outward man is passing away. The outward man is diminishing. Meaning the outward man isn't going to make the translation from here to heaven. The outward man, this shell, isn't going to make it. It's passing away. But the inward man, the spirit man, is being renewed day by day. Day by day. We are eternal. And we spend our lives trying to get the things that are not eternal. And it leaves us unsettled. It leaves us unsettled. Unsettled in him. A few other things I want to bring out here. In this time, I believe God is calling us to a deeper and a sweeter surrender. How many of you know what it's like to surrender to God? How many of y'all know that surrender doesn't happen just once? You will have a million opportunities in this life to surrender to the Lord. And most of the time, it happens in degrees. In God, in his grace and his mercy, he lets us let it happen in degrees. But every time I start to take an honest evaluation, what do I find out? It's not that I need to surrender something else entirely, like I need to surrender this thing. No, it's just a matter of me not surrendering the whole thing to begin with. I always begin to figure out, you know, there's just something that's left unsurrendered in me. And it's amazing how wonderful that is. And this is where we need to transition in our hearts and in our minds. And that surrender is something that we long for, not something that we shy away from. That surrender is something that sounds good and not something that just sounds religious, but it sounds good, because there's something that I begin to understand, that as I surrender, his strength grows in me. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of Jesus Christ, his Son of Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for me. That begins to transition. Our boys have video games, several of them. And some of the language that I hear from time to time is level up. Level up. And can I tell you that every level up in God starts with going lower. Every level up is about going lower. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. The fight of our lives, church, is surrendering the old man to the new man. The fight of our lives is really surrendering what we want to what he wants. And the breakthrough comes when we stop wrestling with him and we start resting in him. We got some wrestlers in the room. And I don't mean WWF or WWE or whatever that is. Whatever that is. Breakthrough comes when we stop wrestling with him and we start resting in him. It's a realization, it's an understanding that no matter what, I have confidence in the Lord. And I want to ask you this. What is it that you are carrying? What are you carrying that the Lord hasn't called you to? What are you carrying? I challenge you to examine what it is that you're carrying. The word says, set aside the weights that so easily entangle us. And we're right to refer to that as sin, but I want to work on a different definition of sin. How many of y'all know what the definition of sin is? Is it a list? Yes, there is a list of things that are identified in the word. But then Paul takes us to a place that is just like Jesus. Jesus showed up on the scene and he took everything to the next level, right? He said, "You think committing adultery is the act, and I tell you that the thought itself is the act." Jesus came and he took it to a whole other level. He came to show us who the Father was and his love. No, you don't know love. Love is when a man lays down his life for his friends. Now watch, I'm going to do it. The definition of sin, we find it as that anything that is not of faith is sin. Did you know that was in the Bible? Anything that is not of faith is sin. Paul talks about it in Romans. Here's from the Amplified Version, Romans 14:23. But the man who has doubts, misgivings, and uneasy conscience, he's talking about eating, and then eats, stands condemned before God because he is not true to his conviction and he does not act from faith. For whatever, listen, this is the Amplified, for whatever does not originate and proceed from faith is sin. Meaning whatever is done without a conviction of its approval by God ends up being a sinful thing. Milk and honey and meat this morning. Can we all take it? Can we do this together? Come on, let's go in this. For whatever does not originate or proceed from faith is sin. Whatever is done without a conviction of its approval by God is sinful. In other words, it doesn't matter how noble it may appear on the outside, or how righteous the sacrifice may look to others, if there is not a knowing that this is by the word of the Lord and that this is by faith, then it is better to take no step with peace than take any step in our own strength. Did we get that? In other words, it doesn't matter how noble it may appear on the outside or how righteous the sacrifice may look to others. If there's not a knowing that this is by the word of the Lord and that it is by faith, then it's better to have no step and retain the peace than to take any step in my own strength. My own strength. And so we struggle because we try to get God to come into our plan. That's the wrestling. God, come into my plan. This is what I'd like to do. Come into my plan. This is what I'd like. This is what I'd like. Listen, let's get our words straight. Does God give the desires of our heart? Yes, but what's the first part of that? Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Why? There must be a delighting in him first. God that says, your ways are above my ways, your thoughts are above my thoughts. God, and if I don't have you when I go, there's no point in going.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Turning Point Church. To stay connected, we invite you to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media. If you're in the Middle Tennessee area, we'd love for you to join us for a Sunday or midweek service. God bless you and have a wonderful week.